P-minus 73. United Nations Headquarters, Manhattan, New York. 24 hours, Jan Geller angrily boomed into the camera that framed her perfectly against the backdrop of the UN building. This building had little immediate relevance to the day's events, but as the closest to Jan's Blitz news office with any kind of extraterrestrial meaning, it presented itself as the fairly obvious choice. Geller had always had a flair for spectacle and symbolism, knowing that something like this was far better than delivering an impassioned report from inside a studio. Similar theories were responsible for the reliable number of media personnel from around the country, and indeed the world, who descended on the Birchwood drive-in to shoot their alien-themed reports at that backdrop, but Geller was alone today. There was no crowd of any meaningful size at the UN building, where nothing was happening and which no one else thought of as a worthwhile place to go. A cordon of police officers were protecting the building, apparently in case any roving hordes tried to ransack it for some inexplicable reason, in the same way individuals and groups had already targeted other easier-to-explain venues like supermarkets and convenience stores relatively nearby. Law and order was a long way from fully breaking down, as the presence of these officers attested, but Jan Geller and the outrage machine she piloted with glee seemed determined to hasten and exacerbate society's descent into disorder as quickly and as deeply as she could. It's been 24 hours since the world heard from William Godfrey, and even longer since Dan McCarthy and Tara Ford last showed their privileged faces in Buenos Aires, she said. For years, the world has been duped into believing that these individuals have our planet's and our species' best interest at heart, but I stand here today ready to present proof at last that Godfrey and McCarthy, all of the McCarthys, are in this for themselves. Dan, in particular, has always presented himself as a real man of the people, a truth-seeker and a truth-teller. He would have us all believe. The kind of man, supposedly, who would anonymously leak evidence of something he conveniently didn't know was a hoax. If anyone is still buying that, I have a bridge looking for a buyer. For years, myself and a handful of brave and defiant others have been presented as fools and liars for daring to question the party line. The PR machine has been relentless with Emma Ford and her book of dirty tricks, making sure the corporate media has danced to their tune from the very beginning. There has been controlled opposition with the concocted threat of the ludicrous Geosov. There has been controlled opposition with the ridiculous split between Godfrey and Ding when the GCC and ELF sucked ever greater budgets from gullible national governments and Dan McCarthy was somehow allowed to position himself parallel to both organizations and yet maintain a position of authority in the public's collective mind. This special treatment for the anointed special one has been ongoing for years, and the corporate media has pushed it down our throats like we were ducks and they were fattening up our livers. Well, today, with Godfrey and Dan either gone or hiding, a remarkable truth has fallen on my desk. What I'm about to show you will never be forgotten, and no amount of build-up could do it justice. Before fully diving into these incredible revelations, which rewrite our understanding of human history as much as they repaint the so-called leaders who have run roughshod over the truth for years on end, I must thank two individuals for bravely delivering this to me. They did so as soon as the truth was given to them, which occurred only as a result of Godfrey's absence. Those individuals are Prime Minister John Cole and President Valerie Slater. And the evidence they have provided me reveals a twofold truth. First, humanity was visited thousands of years before the meddling messengers from New Kerguelen ever showed up. Second, William Godfrey and Dan McCarthy, right until the moment of their dual disappearance, have been actively covering this up. That's right, dear viewers. The two men who have for so long presented themselves as the beacons of alien truth have in fact conducted a campaign of deceit and secrecy against our whole world. The influence of Emma Ford, sitting smugly in Birchwood, Colorado, as we speak, cannot be overstated. But before we take the culprits to task, allow me to show you exactly what they've been hiding. The images you are about to see may be unsettling to some viewers, and it's my view that children should not be subjected to them. I am coming to terms with the frightening nature of the beings depicted in these ancient carvings, which are the first of many with more to come very soon, but only after several hours. My life will never be the same again having viewed these carvings, and neither will yours. So, without further ado.
On cue, large photographs of the most eye-catching of Dortolutepe's carvings replaced Jan Geller on tens of millions of TV screens. These images, previously familiar to very few, showed a tall alien with a long skull. The cable-based communications interface, which appeared to be depicted in one of the images, drew a lot of Geller's focus, leading into a sprawling series of baseless proclamations about what this could indicate in relation to the messenger's very similar communications cables. There were huge gaps in Geller's knowledge, naturally, given that she was as in the dark as almost everyone else regarding the history of this tall alien's race and the deception they had conducted against the trusting messengers on New Kerguelen. Just as naturally and unsurprisingly for all who knew her, however, this didn't stop her from speculating wildly. Geller didn't proceed to fill in the gaps so much as she proceeded to throw baseless ideas into the camera with little regard for how they fit together with the physical evidence and seemingly even less regard for the impact they might have on the viewing public. Level-headed commenters on social media and other news networks would spend the next few hours lamenting this lack of consideration for how the revelations and associated ideas would go down around a world already reeling from the unexplained absence of its key interplanetary diplomats. But in truth, they were a step behind. For in reality, Jan Geller hadn't really failed to consider how her sensationalist fear-mongering would be received. She hadn't really failed to anticipate the kind of public reaction that would follow. Indeed, as was her penchant, Jan went out of her way to ramp up as much hysteria as she possibly could and had carefully engineered her supposedly off-the-cuff remarks to have the maximum possible impact on that front. Chaos was the goal, and it was working so far.